Welcome to the Spit Happens podcast, where the topics are real, the discussions are real, and how there is real hope. Welcome to the Spit Happens podcast. This is episode 8. I'm Tim.
I'm Brendan.
And you say it's a little late, a little tired on a Sunday. You can tell by Brandon's voice and the enthusiasm.
Yes.
You're practicing your Vader voice for the new Star Wars movie?
Vader is dead.
Oh.
Vader is dead.
Oh, Vader's going to live through the Force.
Maybe. But he's in the good side.
Maybe.
His son warmed his heart.
What if Luke's on the dark side?
Then he should be punched in the jugular.
Yeah.
By using the Force.
So, instead of Vader choking people, he'll be throat punching with the Force?
Yeah. Jugular punching.
That's going to be the jugular punch. It'd
be great.
What would that be called? Force in the throat instead of punch in the throat? Or
Force throat awakens on your jugular.
Throat force?
Yeah.
Like a throat punch?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's been nice. Are you going to go watch Star Wars? I'm going to go see it with my dad. When I go into Fort Wayne. That's the plan.
Well, I'm trying to get the wife to, but she's not the super Star Wars fan that I am. So
you didn't vet her about this before you married her?
Yeah, that didn't go over, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So
wasn't a hill to die on for you then, huh?
No.
All I guess of our not. Star Wars fans who are listeners, they don't respect you anymore.
Well, I'm sad that we're going to lose our one viewer. that's
real sad. Leave us.
We just immediately dropped from 1 to 0.
Hey, there's only one place to go. You know where
off
that
the
is?
Air?
Up. Yeah. Up. It's an expression.
Yeah. That was a good movie, Up. I like Up. You ever watch that?
It made me sad.
Made you sad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you get past the sad part of it. The dog was fantastic though. The cone of shame.
Someone's calling me.
That's right. I thought that was me.
Oh no. It's just my fantasy football.
Oh yeah. How bad is yours?
I don't know. I've got 3 teams. Which one do you want to know about?
I guess we're both clicking into our church league team right now.
Okay.
Anybody else out there if they're in fantasy? Actually, I'm killing it on my fantasy team today.
I'm winning.
Hey, Hud, if you happen to listen to this, dude, you just got slaughtered. I beat you 117-56.
That's pathetic.
That's real bad, but thank you. Well, you still got Witten and Bailey to play, but
That's not going to be much. They have no one to throw and score. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, are you talking about Witten?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a...
And Bailey. Dan Bailey, right?
Dan Bailey,
He's a Cowboys player.
Yeah. If you guys haven't caught up, Brandon's a Cowboys fan.
Yep. A realistic one, though. So.
Yeah. And I, however, am a Bengals fan, and thanks to the Philadelphia Eagles knocking off the New England Patriots, we are now in a 3-way tie for first place in the AFC.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is awesome.
My Yahoo League, just they're on the chat thing in there. I don't know why they do that, but my phone's blowing up.
Yeah, my Yahoo League, I'm winning that one too, beating my cousin, the Hebrew Hammers.
No one asked you.
Hebrew Hammers.
No.
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
Now we got done with the sports update. We can go into the political update.
So, politics.
Yeah, politics. Right. Actually, no, it's not really a political update, but more so along the lines of the leader of just.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? You trying to connect leadership with politics? Are you trying to say that there should be leadership qualities in the realm of politics?
That would be amazing. That would be really good. Some people don't understand the concept between the concept
of
actual
leadership. What do you think leadership principles are needed in politics?
Well,
since you said the P word.
The P word. Well, one of the big ones is one I've always held on to, and it's never asking someone to do something you wouldn't do for yourself, or you wouldn't do yourself. But, I mean, the leadership qualities in politics, at least here in the United States, I mean, obviously it's they're representing the American people and not their own agendas and their own pocketbook, which is the...
In theory.
In theory. And actually, I'm pretty sure that's, you know, the way it is.
Well, under it's oath, supposed to be.
But
yes.
But I guess you can't get a politician for lying under oath, because they would just circumvent the system and you'd end up in jail somehow.
Well, the thing is, there's how will they really represent the people in which they are representing if they don't, A, come back to their district, and B, yeah, accept calls from people who are calling from their district,
yeah,
about the issues they are supposed to represent them on.
Right. They just have one of their 30 interns answer phone calls.
Yeah. Sticky notes, right?
Yeah, sticky notes. I had a discussion one time with some friends. We were talking about pay, you know, because, you know, like congressmen and senators, you know, they get retired, they get everything after serving 2 terms.
In the wrong industry.
So, I mean, they're like, I forget what it is. It's like $60,000 a year. It's a ridiculous amount of money once they're done. Like, they don't have to do anything the rest of their lives.
That's cool.
And free health care and everything. But we were talking about the pay.
Yeah.
And how to make it fair.
Oh, geez. The F word.
Fair. Yeah. So, my thought. That's a four-letter F word,
right?
Here's, yeah. F-A-I-R.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's one of my
just dropped a four-letter F-bomb.
my thought on that was, so the congressman or the senator, the representative, that is, I'm trying not to laugh right now.
Why are you trying not to laugh? You should just laugh.
Your dog.
My dog is stupid. His name is Dallas, and he's a wuss.
He's a real Romo.
What are you doing, dude?
He scratched my arm.
Well, punch him or something.
Yeah, that's why he yelped.
All right. Be nice to my dog, dude. Don't be punching my dog.
Hey, he yelped because of you. No, so
he didn't yelp. He just
the
whined.
Fairness. So talking about the pay, we'll get back on that. And the thought was is that
we're supposed to talk about leadership. You're talking
we
about
are.
Pay.
This is part of leadership.
All right.
This is a big. This is a big part.
I'm waiting for
and
it.
So
to
here's
around.
The leadership on that. So you're the pay for a representative from a state, especially if you're looking at a senator. Is their pay is paid on the average for the citizen in their state. So they get paid whatever the average is for the state.
But that fluctuates. So how
right,
that
exactly.
Be...
So if the pay for the state goes up and they're doing well, then the representative gets an increase.
Even after they're done?
Well, no, after they're done, they finish at, well, however good of a job they did. Then okay. You finish out at however good of a job.
So
you did.
The
and
level
honestly, if they don't work hard,
success is
enough,
dependent upon the average income of the.
Well, if
state.
We're looking at the pay rate, and that's because they should be doing things to improve
so
their
could just,
economy.
All they could do, all they have to do, is then is raise the minimum wage, and then they get more money.
Well, there's
their loophole. Boom.
There's
taking
obviously
advantage
ways that
of
you
are
so,
destroyed.
But you look at the average on that. But you can, you know, you're basing things on actually on your state. Like, you're not just getting money. I mean, you could sit there as a representative for a state that's got
what if your
50,000 residents and
is,
you're making
is good, but your state is in debt.
That's where eyeballs. There. I mean, there's obviously there's checks and balances in that. So if you're running debt, I mean, it's not the average income. Yeah, that's what you'd make, but you're also like there's different things. There's a way that, you know, just like if you were to get bonuses or if you were to get doc pay. I mean, if you were to make mistakes and lose money for a company, a lot of times you don't get in doc pay or you end up losing your job.
Correct.
So, you know, it's the same type of things. You just don't get away with whatever you want. You can't just raise the minimum wage to give yourself a pay raise and then your entire, you know, your economy in your state starts collapsing because, you know, like with Greece, you know, look what happened.
Hey,
you know, you
don't
can't
be
just...
accusing that of my state, okay?
Hey, I'm not saying anything on the Hoosier State. You can have Indiana.
No,
you guys
I'm
got
saying,
some good agriculture.
Hey, I live in Ohio, okay?
Yeah.
You're accusing me of being a bad politician.
No.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
No. I live in Ohio, too, so I'd be putting myself in the same boat.
But you're not a politician.
Maybe. Are you a politician?
That's what I said.
Okay.
I'm running.
That's fine.
Kelly for president.
You gotta wait a little
swoop
while.
In. No, man, I'm swooping.
You gotta hit that age limit.
What's the age limit?
Oh my, is it
35?
35, I think. Yeah, 35.
I'll get it changed. We can, anything can get changed.
Yeah, you can be a what is it? A Barry.
I'll vote for Justin Bieber.
Barry Santo or whatever.
I'll vote for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Did you know that he brought Judah Smith? Do you know who Judah Smith is? He's a prominent pastor at a church in Seattle. he brought him along with him to a concert in, I don't remember
what it is. 35 years old.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm just preparing. So, boom.
Okay, so he brought his pastor in?
So he brought his pastor in, Judah Smith. Look him up. He's a good preacher. Brought him into a concert and basically turned that concert into a church service. Judah spoke and Justin shared his testimony and stuff, and it's pretty powerful. So there's some leadership for you using your influence for the glory of God.
Yeah, that's good. When did this happen?
It was like a couple weeks ago, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Nice. Yeah. Somebody else just put some musical thing out.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is, but man, it was
Terrible.
It was dope.
Yeah, it was really good. Nice little.
It's a 4-letter D word.
Dope.
And it was totally unfair for everyone else, for all the competition.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I got you.
Is that legit?
Yeah, there's that F word again.
Legit.
Fair, oh. But it was unfair.
Unfair.
Yeah, legit, F word, yeah. Did you just really do that?
Well, that's what I said. And you
were must be late.
No, I said legit, and you were like, yep, there's the F word.
You're a
again.
Writer, right? And I said F word, and you said legit.
I said legit, and then you said, yep, there's the F word. I'm like, did you forget what F sounds like, or what?
Yeah, you're going back to
hey, up. Don't attack me, man.
So.
Drop the gloves.
Leadership.
NHL Network.
Dude, that game ended. It was an amazing ending.
Apparently, we're just going to talk about sports today.
Yeah. Sorry. Now we're talking about hockey. I was watching the Red Wings game. It was amazing. Incredible. 3-1. No.
Speaking of leadership, you want to look at resumes? I was the captain of my hockey team back in the day. Okay.
He was the only,
I wore the C.
He was the only player on the team, though.
No. Hey, I wore the C on my jersey.
And those of you that.
A lot.
Those of you that may not be familiar with hockey. Or that one person that is listening.
If you are not familiar with hockey, you are a terrible person. And I totally am kidding. However, you should totally get acclimated with hockey. It's not just about fights. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it is not just
about fights.
I'm very
passionate about hockey.
It is
not. I'm going to be starting to play again in January. So, pretty awesome.
So, with hockey, with the C on the jersey, like it's not like any other sport. It's not like football where you have 3 or 4 guys.
When you wear like this, everyone wears the C in hockey and football.
when you wear the C in hockey, that's a very, very important thing. And it's not handed out to just anybody. So long as you've got a good coach, I guess. It's not handed out to anybody.
Hey, what are you trying to say about my coach, dude?
I'm not saying anything about your coach. Well, you told me you had a fantastic coach. He's with...
this is a different coach.
Oh, different coach.
This was a travel team. But my coach, for high school...
Yeah, he's in
there. He's actually, so if you're familiar with the ECHL, which is what the
East Coast Hockey
the
League,
Cincinnati Cyclones are in, he's now the coach of the Fort Wayne Comets, who play in that same league, my hometown team. So he's a pro hockey coach now. He's pretty legit. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Gary Graham. Shout out, coach, if you're listening.
You might have to tell him to listen now.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So the C is a pretty important thing. So what did that teach you? What was it like being a captain of a hockey team? Leadership.
It told me that I should work the hardest. That if anyone was going to exude the most heart in the game, I could use air quotes for heart. Right? You guys get what I mean by that. It was going to be me, and so. I wasn't the most, like, I wasn't the best scorer, but I was going to hit the most people, I was going to skate the hardest, and probably play on the ice the longest, because that's what I did. And so, it was more of like, leading by working the hardest, and, that's pretty much it. Because I didn't start playing hockey until I was, like, 12 or 13, and most of the guys I was playing with, they started playing hockey when they were like 4. So
yeah,
as soon as they were walking, a couple years after they were walking, they're on ice. So it was a little different in that regard. But
you said you work the hardest, try the hardest, you're on the ice the most. Now how did you instill that on the rest of the team? Like how did that work? Like transferring that from what you did to getting the rest of the guys on the team to do the same thing.
Yeah, I think other than verbally, you know, getting people excited and ready to go, it was, I think, passion. When someone exudes passion, it leaks to other right. people, and people pick that up. You know, honestly, our team, we did not have a good season that year, but we were a tight-knit group, and tell you what, man, that was the funnest time I had playing hockey, because as of all the time we were traveling, like every weekend we were going to different cities and stuff, and having to stay in hotels and all that good stuff, and it was a lot of fun. But we weren't the best team. We didn't have a lot of players either. It was one of the reasons why I had to basically play the whole game, which in hockey is ridiculously difficult. But passion leaks, and when you have it, I think people will catch on to that. Mm-hmm. So be passionate about what you do. And if you can't be passionate about what you do, maybe you're not doing the right thing.
It's a very good point. I like that.
Yeah.
That's going out. That's getting quoted.
That maybe we could just like cut that part out and like have that only be the thing. Like
the whole podcast.
Our podcast could be like 10 seconds long.
Leadership.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe,
passion.
Yeah. That could be good. Yeah. Now you need your one-liner. Go ahead. Just come up with it right now.
A one-liner right now?
Yeah. 10-second blurb. And then we'll cut everything else out.
Yeah. Well, if I had a one-liner, I'd say if you're going to lead, that means you're going to be in front. And that means that you're going to be taking the brunt of everything.
That rhymed. So if you're going to lead, you're going to be in the front. And that means you're going to be taking the brunt of mm-hmm. everything. There you go.
I thought you were going to keep going. I thought you were going to spoken word it up.
No, I can't. It's not like I'm not like no freestyle rapper. Can't do that. I can think it through it and write it.
Yeah.
If you like spoken word, we just dropped a new one.
What's it called?
You're not an accident.
You're not an accident. It's really good though. It'll be linked into the show notes also, so check that out. So you're talking about exuding your passion, it leaks out, and then I would have to say being a pastor is like being a captain on a hockey team, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, in different regards, when you're leading teams and stuff, I can see that, or if you're the
you wear now stands for Christ follower though.
Indeed. Follow me as I follow Christ, that kind of thing. You know, sometimes I think the inside the church or just for people who are Christians, we don't realize that I think leadership in the realm of how if we were to honor Jesus with our leadership, it would be slightly different than probably be vastly different than what the rest of the world would say leadership is.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said the greatest among you would be your servant, right? So like when I don't know if you guys who are listening to this have, you know, managers who are just kind of like overseers as far as like supervisors, they don't really get into the nitty gritty of the stuff, but they just kind of like are aloof and expecting you to do the stuff,
just kind of micromanage. And
it seems as though to be a good leader and to be a Christian at the same time is to be one who would, even though they have the status of manager or leader or executive, they would come down into whatever realm they are leading and get into it
right.
and help and serve. But I don't know that we see that very often.
Yeah. Either in today's church?
I don't know necessarily about today's church, generally. but just among, and I guess when I say church, I mean like big C church, yeah, like global corporately. Church.
Yeah.
Just like in the lives of Christians.
Right.
You know, like in the workplace, you know, how often do we see, you know, the executives doing something other than what the executives do, right?
Right.
Yeah, or manage the mid-level managers doing the work of the entry-level person.
No, I think, and another big thing that's going on, like, if you look at in the corporate landscape, is it's like, it's remote managers, too. Like, managers, they don't even work in the same state. Like,
so that's interesting.
You know?
So how can you lead someone when you have no perspective or any context in which to lead them from?
You cannot do it. It is not successful. Yeah. It is an unsuccessful.
But why is the corporate world doing that?
Because it saves money.
Yeah.
That's it. It's about saving money.
And yet, at the same time, it costs them money because they don't get the same productivity from their people.
Exactly. I just read a study. I really wish I remember what was that so we can put it in the show notes. It was something I brought up to you a little bit. But it was talking about the work week. Because, like, Henry Ford...
Oh, there's been a lot of stuff on this, yeah.
Had taking the work week from 7 days to 5 days. And then now it's saying it's shortening the days now. Google's really good at it. A lot of these big tech companies, they do it. They allow a lot of freedom. But basically, it's a four-day work week. And you create... Because otherwise, when you go into work, you end up working for 3.5 hours and sitting around for 4.5 to 5 hours not doing anything. Because your work only takes you 3 hours to get it done. So when you fake the rest of the day... just to get through your work day. And there is no productivity. There is no positivity.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's all about faking it. To look busy. It's busy work. And it kills the employee. The will. It just totally kills the individual.
No creativity. That's interesting because Google, they allow their employees like 20% of their time to they can work on whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like any kind of projects that they want to work on, they can do that. I believe it's Google. It does that. There are probably more of those tech companies do that.
Yeah.
But they usually say that's where like the innovative ideas come from.
Right.
Is that 20% of time where employees, the creative people, are just able to work on whatever they want. Just because they want to.
You're free from all restraint.
You don't have like this project that you have to you know, have a hard deadline on. You have the freedom to be able to work on it on your own.
Yeah. So and then but in doing those what and a lot of it is, too, is because, I mean, let's face it, once you get up to certain levels of management and you feel like, air quote, you've made it, you know, and you're out of, you've worked and you've earned it, and now you're up there, and now it's like, you've paid your dues, and I don't need to go back down there and do what they're doing.
Right.
And I already paid my dues. I did that. But that's not the case. If you're going to be a good leader, and especially as a leader in the church or as a leader of... Christian, whatever, if you're in any type of leadership with that, you have to step down off the stage and step down or step out from behind the desk and be out there and be working and alongside and doing things. Whether you're a manager, whether you're a pastor, no matter what, if you're not doing it, you don't want, A, you don't know the person, and B, you don't know the actual work. I mean, you just don't, you're not involved with it, so you can't. How can you fix or how can you be a part of anything if you're not in it and if you're not doing it and if you're not involved? And that's how it works. If you give that 20% of freedom and everything else, but you don't show how that works functionally, then that's how people go awry. That's how you end up with people that are lost because you're not there showing how it kind of works and getting them started right and then keeping them on track. So, and if, you know, and when people look at, it's amazing in the corporate landscape because they'll look at, oh, we don't have productivity. Oh, we don't have this. Okay, well then, you know, we need to lay people off and we need to do this. And then nothing, and it's just like with sports too. It's like, why does our team keep failing? Well, it's because you haven't changed your front office.
Yeah.
Your front office keeps doing the same thing over and over and over with the same group of guys or a different group of guys or whatever. It's the same mentality and it's the same drive that's leading it. As a dysfunctional unit.
Yeah.
If you don't shake things up. And so, and the last thing that happened is leadership gets changed and shifted around. And sometimes if you were to take leadership and shift that around to meet the needs of what the work group is, then you would see a complete opposite. You wouldn't have people without jobs. and you would see productivity change. Because,
well, don't you think one of the main roles of a leader is to create an environment for upwardly mobile action, like for people to have a positive outlook for what it is they're doing, that they can see the purpose in which they fit into the company or to the goal. Because, like, I can use this as a perfect example. Back when I was in, you know, high school and even college, working on like math problems.
I hate math.
You know, a lot of times I think a lot of people like they hate math because they have no idea where they would actually use it.
Yeah, that's a huge.
And yet, when you have, for me, the best teachers are the people who tell you the why behind the what that it is you're doing. Like, why do I have to learn how to do calculus if I'm a computer science major, which I was for a year? If I would have had a professor who would have explained that to me, it would have helped kind of frame the you know, tediousness of studying that. And so I think good leaders also do that. They tell you the why behind the what. So they allow you to fit in and to see your role in the broader scheme of the company or whatever it is that you're working for, organization. And everyone feels as though they have a place and they have a role, and it's specific, and it's valuable.
Right. Yeah, so with adding value, because it, even like with parenting and other things, a lot of it's the, oh, why do I need to do it? Well, because I said so, or because that's the way it's laid out. You know, I'm your boss. The boss says to do it. Well, then you go and do it. And
because it's your job.
Right. And, you know, that's all well and good in certain circumstances where there is a need to know and you don't need to know. But when it comes down to, like you were saying, but actually giving a perspective or showing, you know, foresight, saying, hey, this is the bigger picture, this is where we want to go, instead of, I mean, can you imagine if a lot of, sometimes, and I look back at situations, you know, when I was in management where I'd wished, like, man, I wish I would explain more. But if I were to take moments where I took those extra 10 or 15 minutes and just said, hey, this is why.
Yeah.
This is it. And, you know, it's like, you know, I probably could have really made a difference or an impact into that individual. And, you know, I try to look at more now and some of the things I do. And then with my kids and everything else is really try to teach them why.
Yeah.
Teach the why. When it's applicable. I mean, sometimes it's just not. But,
well, it's teachable moments.
Yeah.
You know, that's... That's what I love about the fact that, you know, my toddler is getting to the age, Kyrea, she's getting to the age where I can explain things to her.
Right.
I mean, not quite. I mean, she's there. I can explain things to her, and whether she listens or not, that's another thing. But I think the telling the why is huge. Because it may take you longer as a leader to do that, but I think the environment, the culture you'll create in your workplace is going to be so much more beneficial. Well, because they're going to know that you care enough to actually explain.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the caring. I mean, let's face it. If you're a leader or accept the role of a leader, whatever level of management or anything that it is, if you're not expecting to have to take more time to do things and do things thoroughly, then you probably shouldn't be in leadership at that time, if you're not willing to do that, and if you're not expecting that, if you're expecting just to have people do whatever you say whenever you want, then you're not in the right role.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be, because you should expect to have to work harder. And if you're not, like you were saying with hockey, being the hardest working, and I had heard there was a quote. It said, I'm trying to remember the exact word, but it was talking about, the higher you go in management, the less you know.
Yeah.
And I personally, I completely disagree with that. I think that's the worst quote ever for leadership. Because if you're moving up, then there's the more you should know. And it may not be...
I think I do hear where they're coming from. But I'm interested to hear what you say.
Well, I think I get where they're coming from with the quote. But it's the types of things you know. And you should know a whole lot more than what you knew before. You should know the different dynamics. You should know how to understand people. You should know how to be involved.
Right.
You should know what's going on. down in the low or levels, yeah, as things trickle down, you should know a whole lot more.
Yeah,
but it should be more
like as you go up as a leader, it's going to be vital that you delegate authority to other people who are
right.
Like, you know, like Steve Jobs, he was an idea guy. He wasn't going to be the implementer guy in Apple. You know, he wasn't the guy who was going to be programming all these different programs. But he had the ideas.
Right.
So he could get a bunch of design guys and programmers around him who knew those things.
Yes. So. Well, I think the problem is the wording of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because you better believe Steve Jobs is going to know what they're working on and what they're doing. Like, he's going to know it. He's not going to be doing it himself. He's not going to be.
Maybe not, though.
You know?
Maybe not, though.
Maybe not. I mean, he did steal depends a lot of stuff. Depends on how it just was. He just did kind of rebrand a lot of things. But, no, I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other podcast and a whole other topic. But this is me personally. I mean, the way if I'm looking at my leadership model for myself is that I'm not going to micromanage. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to try to.
Sounds like you're trying to micromanage.
You know, no, but I'm going to have an understanding so that way when there's a need that arises, I can be involved in helping my team and making sure that I'm lifting them up because I understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know what they're working on. I know what they're kind of going through. So it's,
well, as you rise in an organization, the team in which you are most, you're going to most interact with are going to be, so like if you're upper level management, you're going to have a team of mid-level managers who they report to you, and you are going to be investing in them. So you're going to know what they're going on, what's going on with them. But, you know, the people who are there over, you're not going to know all the things they're doing, and that's okay. And I think that's what it's saying. Like the amount.
Oh, yeah, people, I know. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think it's just it's the way it's worded. Because, I mean, just saying the less you know, I mean, it's just kind of the open interpretation of that is, it's pretty broad, but I just think the more you'll know, it's a different type of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, like you have your job and what you've got to do, but then you've also got, you know, it's just a different understanding of what to know.
Yeah. Cause eventually if you're doing it right, you're going to be, if you're the top leader, you're going to be a leader of leaders who are also leaders of leaders.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to necessarily directly lead the whole organization, but you will indirectly through the leaders you lead. But the idea that I think we started with is the idea of being a servant. So whoever you do lead, you serve them.
Right.
Right. It's like a posture. Like we're talking about a church, a posture of worship.
Right.
We're talking about a posture of leadership where I'm approaching it not as I'm the big guy, but I'm the servant of these guys or gals or whoever. And the way in which I lead is by being a servant. So, like, you've got the team you're leading, you help them in whatever way you can to make sure that they are being successful in their, you know, in their roles.
Yeah, oh, I've got that circumstance like at work because we got two sites that we work at. So when I moved up to the other site, well, I helped run the project. Excuse me, fight cold. So I helped run the.
How's that project going? Fighting the cold thing.
Oh, that one. I'm taking the high road. I'm taking the. It's an uphill battle. So I'm traveling uphill. but so we got two different sites now. Like I have to run the.
We can't edit out each one of those coughs.
That's okay.
You run one of the sites.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So and I'll have to travel, but I have meetings. Actually, I'm supposed to have a meeting tomorrow morning, but. Like because I'm gonna have to do a different job, and now because I oversee the day to day like operations for the other one, just like overseeing the workload, it doesn't make me too good to go down and do it. Like I go down there and give it to the guys, and I do the work I used to do and work with them, and you know what I mean, I'm not too good to go down and do that, and it builds a good camaraderie. And then the other, like, you know, the guys ask, you know, come down more often, and so I just made a thing to be down there one morning each week. I go down for 4.5 hours one day each week, And yeah, it takes a lot out of me for what I've got to do on my other job, and I have to work harder up there.
Yeah.
But that's just part of it. You know, if I'm going to lead properly and do that, then I'm going to have to work harder on the stuff I have to do to make sure I'm available for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, and it sucks, because sometimes I go up and it's like, wow, this workload, I wish I'd known I had it. Because I don't know from day to day what it's going to be like until I get in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a toss-up. Sometimes it comes back to bite you, but the end result is better, because now that team has got more, it's just so much more positivity, and it's a better atmosphere.
Yeah.
After each time. But that's that case of being, it's being servant to him, but it's just going down and just being one of the guys, really, just
right.
working.
So for our listeners who don't know what Tim does, if you've ever watched 24, the main guy on that is like what Tim does.
Jack Bauer?
Yeah, Jack Bauer.
All right.
Sound so much better?
Yeah, I could dig that. That's cool. I'm good with that.
Just created an alternate reality.
We can just end right there. I am Jack Bauer.
Was ding,
it? Ding. Deet, deet. Yeah, like.
What is it? How's it go?
I don't know. Let's get that beat. Deet.
Yeah. Deet. That could be our.
Deet.
It could be our end.
Yeah.
Music. Well, we're at 39 minutes now.
Yeah. So, I guess we didn't get on a lot of the other topics, but, you know, the president spoke, and then, you know, we had obviously another shooting, and I don't know. You look at the. I like one of the things he said in his speech. I mean, there were a few things he said for the first time. I really like, really just kind of like bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
But one he said is, let's not make it so that it's America at war with Islam.
Yeah.
Which is really good. You know what I mean? Because I think there are so many times.
Oh, my goodness.
And the gun-touting Christian. It's. Oh my God! If we don't have enough things as
Christians, convocation?
Yeah, I mean, I could go and just slap him. Oh my goodness! And that's not—that's speaking. Jesus face palm. I love you, but still, we have to put that picture in there for people if they listen, so they can see it, because it's fantastic.
Yeah, you have to say
the ignorance of it. I mean, it's one thing to have like a firm belief or a stance on something. But when that's right there is a prime example of terrible leadership.
We follow a guy who, even though he was God in the flesh, like he was powerful enough to destroy anyone, he decided that he was going to lay down his life for the sake of those who were killing him. And he says, come follow me. If you want to follow me, take up your cross. Come join me in this life of sacrifice. Like, we follow a dude who could have killed anyone, and yet he didn't. He sacrificed himself, and he calls us to do the same thing. He calls us to love. That's essentially what he did. And and then we have people who call themselves Christians on social media bashing a whole people, a whole religion of people, and we expect it's mind-boggling.
No, it's funny you say we expect for it to be okay because we follow Jesus. Like you know, it's okay yeah. for me to say that you guys are radical and idiots because I follow Jesus. It's like, bro, if you're following, then you're not saying
right
those things.
Like, can we just read our Bibles every now and again? That would help.
Yeah, it amazes me.
Read Matthew 5-7. Just do that for a little while. You do that over and over and over again. And see if the things in which you are saying resonate with what Jesus is advocating in those chapters. And you might be surprised. Because I know yeah. I'm always surprised at some of the things that I think or say. And then I look at scripture and I'm like, oh, I'm obviously not there yet. I don't know if I ever will be.
Right. But well, I mean, because, you know, I believe striving. In gun ownership and defending yourself. But
that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, it's a whole other
topic. We can't even get into that.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it last podcast.
I don't know that we talked about that specifically, though.
Well, gun ownership and Christianity.
Being a follower of Christ. Like military and stuff.
Yeah, we talked. I mean, it kind of falls along the same line.
I'm pro-Second Amendment. But I've thought about these things for a very long time, so I have a lot of things to say, but we're at 43 minutes. This is all about leadership.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Liberty University.
Just because you have a microphone doesn't mean you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
What? Or it doesn't necessarily mean you can't say whatever.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want, but be prepared for the repercussions.
Yeah. Just.
You know.
Yeah, freedom of speech, but not freedom from consequence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say what I want. You can say what you want. But.
Let it be heard.
Yeah.
You can be heard.
Yeah. And you sometimes you might be heard, and you may wish you weren't heard. Yeah. You wish there were no ears listening.
Can we mute that?
Yeah. Can we delete that, please? Oh, that's a whole nother. That was a sermon you did, the reset. Mulligan.
Which one was
going back. That was 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
It was Mulligan.
I'm glad you remember that stuff.
Oh, man. See, I actually pay attention in church.
More than I do.
Yeah, more than he
and
does.
I was the one preaching it.
A lot of that, though, is too, is just reading through the manuscripts and doing the notes. It just kind of sticks. You read all of them.
Yeah.
And then hear them. Yeah, but the leadership...
Any good leadership books that you can recommend as we close out here? I've got a few.
Yeah, go ahead and...
One is, it was written by the Arbinger Institute, which sounds very prestigious. It's called Leadership and Self-Deception. And the idea is, and it's actually kind of like in narrative form, so it's actually a non-fiction book, but it's an easy read, really easy. It's a page-turner, if you've ever heard of one. And they talk about this idea that... a lot of times, most people, especially leaders who don't have people around them who will be honest with them, we are self-deceived in that we have blind spots that we're not aware of, that we don't see at all, that a lot of times we think the opposite, but in fact, we are a lot of times, like it's a very negative quality of ours that we have no idea about. But in leadership, that's a very big problem because everyone else sees it, but you don't.
It's like driving down the highway in a car with no mirrors, no windows, just a windshield.
Yeah, that would be a big problem. Good luck with that.
You think you're going straight, but you're all over the place.
Good luck with making a change, you know, like of lanes, or good luck making a change in your leadership or in your organization if you have a ton of blind spots.
Yeah.
But that's a good one. The classic 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership is a good one. And then there's a book called Surviving the Corporate Culture, or The Guide to Surviving the Corporate Culture book that I read. And it's all about culture, and I thought it was really good. And so even if you're not in like a corporate environment, like maybe you work at a small business or something, I think it's a good read just because it talks about the idea of creating environments and culture in your workplace, and it's a good read. So there's some other academic books, but like they're kind of boring.
Yeah, well, we can go ahead and recommend them. Maybe try to get those in the show notes, possibly.
Yeah, I'll link to them.
It'd be good to get out there. So just remember, if you're going to feeling called to leadership, or if you're assuming a role in leadership, or if you're in leadership already. When you ask those that you're leading to do things, or those that come to you willing to do more or willing to step up, be ready to provide them with the tools and the structure to succeed, and then also come alongside them from time to time and make sure that you're being the leader that they need. Don't just become a leader in title, you know, become a leader in action.
Boom.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us on episode 8 of the Spit Happens podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you've made it this far, if you have, you're awesome. Virtual high five. Ready? Go. Boom. That happened.
Hey, if you made it this far, kudos.
Yeah. So if you did, you should totally go on iTunes or Stitcher and leave a rating, a review, and subscribe. You know, like, just three things. That's it. You know, 1, 2, 3. Bing, bada, boom. Yeah. That worked. And because that would be so appreciative, because that will help this podcast get in front of more people. And they can be spat on, you know, by the spit of Jesus. And hopefully that is what we're trying to do. Help that Jesus spit on you.
That is the purpose.
Spit Happens, Spit podcast. Happens
podcast. And check us out at Spit Happens Cast Twitter handle, or leave us a, you know, a comment, question, or if you got a topic you want to discuss, it's at spithappenspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can also go to our website, where all the show notes will be for this episode, episode 8, spithappenspodcast.com. Yeah. Till next time. Keep it real.
Out.
Boom.